This is a podcast from ABC Overnights.
Now, if you look around your local area, you may stumble across a funny name or two. For example, in Darwin, Dickwood Drive runs into Fanny Bay. But who is Mr. Ward and who is Fanny? Did they know each other well? Some place names, they can be funny, but some they share intriguing and even difficult histories of the country. Also, some names share a lot of knowledge. For example, many Indigenous language names also share important cultural and environmental knowledge about a particular place. So how do places get their name and where do they come from? A writer, Amon Evans, is the author of Mount Buggery to Nowhere Else. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Let's start with Mount Buggery.
Mount Buggery in Victoria is just quite simply a bugger to climb. Got that name from the Melbourne Hiking Club, who set out in the 1920s to explore the area, and they didn't seem to have had such a great time. They also named Mount Despair and Mount Desolation, just nearby.
So based on their experiences?
Yes. It's... There's a lot of water. Sorry. There's a lot of mountain to climb, and not much water around there. And so yeah, it's all a fairly hellish hike. I've done it myself.
Eamon, you know what I always wonder. You know, if we look at Australia and we look at all the language groups, you know, the Indigenous language groups all over the country. Why don't we go back to a lot of those names when they're quite unique to the place? And instead of keeping all these other names that have come from somewhere else, I mean, how many Victoria streets do we have in this country?
Well, I mean, we do have a lot of Indigenous place names, comparatively speaking, outside of the cities. I mean, I think it's sort of worth pointing out, though, that probably a lot of Indigenous people wouldn't have recognised those names at the time, even sort of 200-odd years ago. Basically, surveyors were sort of sent by the various colonial governors, sort of north, south, east and west, to sort of, you know, map out and name this new country and use Aboriginal names wherever they could. But basically sort of finding out what those Aboriginal names were often a challenge, just because, you know, there are so many Indigenous languages and the surveyors simply didn't speak them. And so it was often just a sort of a best guess.
And maybe they weren't really going around asking.
Well,
there could have been a bit of that.
Yeah. Well, there was a bit of that, but also, I mean, sort of, you know, there were lots of Indigenous nations that were just sort of nomadic and on the move. And so, you know, any one place could have, you know, sort of had half a dozen different names from half a dozen different people. Plus, I mean, they just weren't sort of that into name. I mean, like, for example, the Yarra River in Melbourne is... it's supposed to sort of simply mean it flows. A surveyor asked sort of someone, what do you call this river? They didn't sort of understand the question, and it flows was the answer. Gabo Island in Victoria is supposed to mean I don't know, as in someone asked, what's the name of this island? Gabo, I don't know.
So a few elements of miscommunication. But it is interesting. There are lots of long names that have been around for a long time. As you know, some groups were not nomadic, obviously, and staying there. But you know, in regard to your book, Mount Buggery to Nowhere, we've already covered Mount Buggery. But what about Nowhere Else?
Nowhere Else is a there's a place called Nowhere in Tasmania, and there's a road leading to it, and then if you head down the road the other way, you're not really going anywhere in particular, and so they sort of called it Nowhere Else.
Oh, it was quite literal. I did mention Fanny Bay and Dickwood Drive, but I don't know if you've been to the territory and know those particular roads yourself, Eamon.
Don't know those particular roads, but I think Fanny Bay was named after an opera singer called Fanny Cardino, who sort of visited Australia.
Oh.
At some point in the 20s, there's also a Fanny something or other in South Australia.
So lots of Fannies everywhere around Australia, depending named after someone, a namesake, of course. Where are you from, Eamon?
I'm from Melbourne, which got its name from Lord Melbourne, a Prime Minister who was supposed to have had an affair with Queen Victoria.
Is that confirmed?
Well, no, he probably didn't. But it was the hot rumor at the time. Sort of, her nickname was Mrs. Melbourne, and he was sort of quite well known for having assorted affairs and sort of taking in orphan girls into his house to be his maid, and he would then get out the whip. He was a bit of a lewd character. He was actually his wife had an affair with Lord Byron, and was the one who called him Mad Bad and Dangerous to Know.
Rumours can be interesting things, and this is a particular place name that could lead to rumours, so let's just get it out once and for all. Intercourse Island.
Intercourse Island is entirely innocent. It was just the place, it's off the coast of WA, and it's just a place where a naval captain stopped and had a lovely chat with some local Indigenous people, i.e. some lovely intercourse.
Oh, is that all it is? Something rather innocent.
That's all it is. Just like a sort of Shag Island and Booby Island are both just named after some local birds.
Oh, of course. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering, when you're doing research for a book like this, do you just go around in a car asking people, or are you looking at maps and pointing to something and say, all right, I'm starting here. Now I'll do that research.
Yeah, I used a lot of maps and just sort of went through and sort of identified all the sort of iron knobs and booby islands and so on, that just sort of by themselves interesting. But I mean, part of the challenge of the book was to sort of find places that sort of don't sound interesting but actually sort of are, once you sort of, tear away a few layers. I mean, and investigate. I mean, like, for example, Fremantle, it's well known that it was just named after Charles Fremantle, who was who sort of stuck the flag.
Who was,
the Union Jack, sort of in what's now Perth, on behalf of King George. Mm. He was a naval captain. But what's less well known is that the reason he was in Australia in the first place is because he was forced to flee England because... He'd raped a small a kitchen maid and had to leave the country while his well-connected family sort of sorted it out. Mm. Lake Eyre is named after Edward Eyre, who was a well-known explorer. Later became the governor of Jamaica, and while there, sort of responded to a riot of maybe a few dozen people by. Ordering something like 400 of them shot, and then another 100 odd hanged. Major scandal at the time. He was very lucky not to go to jail. There's all sorts of sort of interesting places that don't necessarily sound interesting, but you just have to sort of get out the books and do some reading.
And some interesting places that you think that the names are quite innocent and after just people who are around. But some of the stories you're telling now, these aren't all necessarily great stories or necessarily great people.
No, quite terrible people. I mean, colonial history is really quite grim. I've done my best to sort of make that clear.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Certain place names that reveal certain histories of Australia. Are there any that stick out to your mind?
Well, there's a lot of sort of places named after sort of shipwrecks along the western coast, which I think is interesting. But I mean, where do you begin is the question. I mean, I think what's interesting sometimes is when you can't find an answer and how revealing that is. Like New South Wales, for example, is a mystery to this day. We don't know why Captain Cook called New South Wales New South Wales. He'd never been to Wales. He didn't know anyone in Wales. It doesn't look like Wales. Is it supposed to be the new south of Wales or the new Wales in the south? It's just a mystery to this day. I mean, the best guess that we sort of have is that it was named after a place in Canada, of all things. He before setting out in the Endeavour, he was a navigator over there. And on the Hudson Bay, there's a tiny little place called New South Wales. And maybe that he was reminded of that in some way. But we sort of simply don't know. Canberra is another sort of interesting example of something that we simply don't know. It was the name of an area they thought, Canberry, and in what's sort of become an extinct language, that and their best guess was that it meant something like sort of meeting place. And so they stuck with it when sort of building our capital city. But another sort of theory that's actually had support from a Ngagawal elder is that it actually sort of means boobs, because Canberra is a little flat plain in between two mountains, and there's every chance that's absolutely correct. We simply don't know. Yeah, there's mysteries all over the place, and they raise more questions than they answer.
What about Adelaide? That's my original hometown, but I never knew who Adelaide was.
Adelaide was a little German princess. She was essentially the heir to the throne. Was in sort of 18, sort of 20 something. The heir to something like that. The heir to the throne suddenly died, and there were no sort of immediate replacements. So the race was on between 10 sort of English princes, all of whom were sort of well over 60, to sort of produce an heir. And a bunch of them were sort of, you know, had been married a long time and had quite sort of elderly wives, and getting a new child was out of the question. But one of them, who was in his late 60s, was unmarried. He'd had sort of 12 children with an actress, but he was technically still unmarried. So he hunted around for an appropriate princess, found one from Germany, Adelheide, who was a devout young girl in her 20s, whom he'd never met, and had her shipped over to England and married her. And their wedding anniversary was the day when Adelaide was founded. So it was named after Queen Adelaide.
That was her wedding anniversary gift.
Yes. Yes, yes.
A place name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's Adelaide.
What about Perth?
Perth got its name from, well, the colonial secretary back in England was Sir George Murray, who the Murray River was named after. And when people set out to found a colony in WA, I think the original idea was to name it Hesperia, which is sort of a Latin word meaning land of the west. But there was an election coming up, and Sir George Murray's seat was in Perthshire. And so he insisted that it be called Perth to appease the electors back home.
Now, I've had a couple of texts come through, Amon, on 0437 774 774, Andy and Kay, wanting to know about Hanging Rock.
Hanging Rock is just simply looks like there's a rock hanging off, I believe. It just sort of bulges out. It's a bit of a geological marvel. It's sort of the top of some of the rocks are actually sort of, you know, thicker and wider than sort of the bottom, and so it looks like it's literally hanging over the ground.
Okay, so it's not a sinister history to that one.
Not at all. Not at all. It's just purely an aesthetic phenomenon.
But there are some places that I'm sure through your research have shocked you a little about some not-so-good history.
Yeah, well, I've touched on, there's places that were sort of named after sort of murderers, like Coots Crossing and Wiseman Ferry and Murder Dogs, just sort of named after sort of places that, sort of named after people that lived nearby and got up to sort of terrible things. What else? There was, there's a lot of sort of place names that have sort of been renamed just to sound a bit more sort of appealing. Like there's a very popular tourist spot down here in Victoria is Safety Beach. That it was a lot less popular back in the day when it was called Shark Bay.
Oh, and now what's it called?
It's now called Safety Beach.
Okay. That's a very different name. It's when, like when a suburb adds Heights to the end of their name.
Yeah. In Sydney, Point Piper was named after, which is, of course, where Malcolm Turnbull lives, Australia's sort of poshest suburbs, named after a guy who lived there who had 18 kids by sort of five women and was very lucky to avoid jail for sort of fiddling the accounts. More clues nearby was the mansion of a man called Henry, who Henry Hayes, I think, who came here from England in chains as a convict because he'd kidnapped a 15-year-old heiress. Yeah, there's a few sort of slightly dodgy people here and there.
Yeah,
and,
you know, I'll continue.
Quite prominent places.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just, you know, did a road trip from Darwin to Melbourne, and you know, there was lots of places on the way we passed, and some of them named after, you know, certain people, and you'd look up, as I was doing, I'd look up on my search engine who these people are, and some of them are either found to have or accused of doing not too many good things. And there's also lots of places that have been named after massacre sites and things like that. I mean, once you start driving around or looking around, even on a map, places in this country, there's much more to a name.
Yeah, I mean, well, you go to a lot of cities up in the north, particularly in Queensland, and you'll find a boundary road right in the middle of the city. Mm. And, yeah, what that remembers, actually, is, you know, the boundary that Indigenous people were not allowed to cross, either ever or during certain hours of the day.
When you hear these sorts of things, does it make you wonder, you know, why don't they now change those? Or do you think too much as time has passed that those meanings are eroded and it's not on people's mind to change them?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of things have been changed. There were a lot of N-words in the Atlas once upon a time, and thankfully they've all gone. I think it's a balancing act. I think where places are sort of, you know, where something particularly awful is commemorated, it ought to be changed. But, I mean, sort of values sort of change all the time, and sort of where do you stop, really, if you're going to start? So I don't know. It's a tricky question. Mm. I think changing the names of Fremantle and Lake Eyre might not be a bad idea. That's probably something I'd be happy to support.
Amon Evans is the author of Mount Buggery to Nowhere Else, a book that looks at place names. Hello, Wayne.
G'day. I'm from Christmas Hills.
Christmas Hills, that sounds like a fun place all year round.
Well, it is Christmas, it's like a Sunday every day. Christmas Hills was named after David Christmas, the first shepherd to be employed by the new landowner of a district northeast of Melbourne. And he was given directions how to get there, and he took the wrong creek and got lost for a week or so and ate his dog and thought he was going to die. And and then he woke up one morning to the sound of the bells of St. Paul's Cathedral or something in England, and it turned out to be the local dairy cow, which he heard the sound of the bell, and the hill where he was lost and then found the dairy cow was called Christmas Hill, and eventually the area that he got lost was called the Christmas Hills.
Wow, they could have easily called it Cow Hill.
Yeah, or Dog Hill.
Yeah. Did you know any other interesting place names?
Well, a common thing common way to understand Aboriginal place names is we actually anglicise a lot of the Aboriginal words, so we make them sound very different than they actually are. Mm-hmm. Once you learn Indigenous phonetics, you realise that they have different sounds to make up words, and then when you revisit the names of Aboriginal place names, you get a greater insight. Mm. A good example of that is people are maybe aware of Pran in Melbourne. It's a suburb. Well, that's exactly the same word as Birrarung, which is near the tennis centre there. Birrarung, the same word, has been anglicised and made into syllables. So if you put Paran and Birrarung together, like you said Paran with a B, and if you said Birrarung with a P, you get Brang. And so There's two different spellings of the same word,
mm-mm-mm.
Brang. And any double R in an Aboriginal word, it's not R, it's R. Mm. So with Canberra, and there's no A in Aboriginal language either, it's always said A. So Canberra would be Canberra. Instead of, you know, cat, it's Canberra.
It's interesting, yeah, how names change. I'm pretty sure somebody told me Kakadu should be actually called Gagaju, but it was a bit of a mishearing. I could be wrong on that, but that's something that I was told.
Well, that's right. There's a any Aboriginal word that's got a K or a D or a J is usually J, which is a DJ in Aboriginal language, but we anglicise it and we you know, either drop the D or the J or put in a K. And when we had so many different English-speaking people sort of discovering places in the colonial times, it depended which country they came from and their accent as to the way that they spelt words. And it wasn't really until early, late century that they actually came up with an indigenous phonetics. So prior to the indigenous phonetics being understood or developed, we can get all sorts of different spellings for the same word.
Mm-mm. Thanks for your call, Wayne. If there are any language speakers of any, you know, of the Australian nations that'd like to add to that as well, you might have places on your country that you call one way, but maybe it's been named a different way. You can share that with me, 1300 800 222. Hello, Howard.
Yes, I come from a place called Kingupna, and it's in central Victoria near Shepparton, and originally it was about 5 kilometres further up the road, and then the railway line came through, so where the township sort of set up was where the railway line crossed the road, and they called that Kingupna Railroad. Then later on they dropped off the rail part, and it was always known as Kingupna Road. And from there, a transport operator had it eventually changed, and the road was dropped off, and so it's called back to Kingupna. Like, it's called Kingupna, and Kingupna means big fish. It's an Aboriginal. But there's also another place near a place called Benalla called U Potty Potpon, and I've often wondered why it was called U Potty Potpon.
Have you heard of that one, Amon?
No, I haven't got that one.
All right, maybe someone else has. 1300 800 222. We'll try and get an answer, Howard.
Yeah, it's one of the most famous names around our area.
Yeah, listen, somebody might actually know today. You can also text in 0437 774 774. Amon Wayne texts in and wants to know about Rooty Hill.
Well, Rooty Hill is actually really sort of unknown, essentially. I mean, the best sort of guess that we have is sort of simply that there were a lot of roots in the hill that had to be removed. Another guess, believe it or not, is that there are a lot of sort of Indian workers nearby and who sort of helped clear the area, and they were sort of fed sort of roti at for sort of whenever they stopped work, and so it was named after sort of a roti, the bread. But probably it's actually the governor sort of who lived there. There was a government house built on it. Had worked in Lord Howe Island previously, and lived on a Rooty Hill there, which I think was named after just sort of simply the number of roots. And so indirectly, it's named after a place in Lord Howe Island.
Oh, right. We've had a text come through, and this is something you did touch on too, Amon. We have a text saying, prominent knob in South Australia has always cracked me up. You did say earlier there are lots of knobs in Australia.
Yeah. There's like an iron knob, a grassy knob, a bald knob.
Well, where have all these knobs come from?
There's a spanker knob. A knob is simply a hill.
It means a hill.
Yeah, it's just a little hill. And Spanker Knob is a hill with that's just right next to a road that's quite smooth and straight and flat, and was therefore a spanker of a run. So, Spanker Knob. Thank you, Nob, everybody.
There we are. The only time you can say it. There you go. Spank and Nob. Amon Evans, author of Mount Buggery to Nowhere Else, on 1300 800 222. Hello, Rose.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm all right.
Oh,
yourself?
This morning, I should say.
Oh, I know, night this morning. It all rolls into one.
Look, I grew up on the Central Coast in a town called Currumbong. And I remember as a child, we rode the horses up through the Wadigan Mountains, up through the caves up through there, and it had a lot of Indigenous artwork on the caves. Currumbong itself, would it be an Aboriginal name?
Do you know that one, Amon?
Certainly sounds like it, yeah.
I know it had a creek running through the back of the property where we lived, and I thought Bong might have had something to do with a billabong, but Currumbong.
Currumbong. All right, well,
very close to Avondale.
Oh, right,
the
mate.
The large Seventh-day Adventist church where the Chamberlains were taken.
And this Central Coast,
Benadari
this
was
is.
Taken. They were taken there to the Seventh-day Adventist. I had a large community there, church and wheat big factory in Avondale, which is the next, within a couple of kilometres of Currumbong.
All right, well, maybe, Rose, if somebody from that way knows, 1300 800 222.
I moved out onto Lake Macquarie, which is only about 8 or 10 kilometres from there.
Yeah.
And lived in a small village, Sunshine, and a couple of kilometres from there, we moved to a small area on the lake called Mirrabooka.
Do you know the meaning of that one?
No.
Mirrabooka was the one that I thought would be Indigenous.
All right, well, maybe someone from that way, from that country, might know. Thank you, Rose.
Not a problem. Thank you. I'm enjoying the show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
There's a Sunshine in Melbourne, but
yeah.
Which is quite a grim industrial suburb that was actually named after the Sunshine Harvesting Company, which had a number of very grim factories there.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Jason, I was recently even looking at a place there, and I thought, what a beautiful name.
Yes. No, don't be misled.
Yeah, it's funny what a name could do. I know my parents, when they bought their first house, they had a choice of two streets, and they were around the corner from one another, and the only thing that made them choose one house from the other was the name.
Yeah, well...
I won't say what that street was, just in case somebody's living on that street and won't want to hear that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Palm Beach, where... Home and Away is filmed, used to be called Cranky Alice Beach, which was probably...
Who's
probably
Cranky Alice?
Cranky Alice is just some strange old woman who apparently lived there.
Oh.
Anglesey down in Victoria was Swampy Creek once upon a time. Beverly Hills was Dumbleton. Orchard Hills was Frogmore. So yes, Fairy Meadow was Cramsville. The 12 Apostles were the Sow and Piglets. So, yeah, no, a few names have had some cosmetic surgery over the years.
Yeah, to make them sound a little different. Jason is here. Hi, Jason.
Yeah, g'day. How are you?
Hello. Tell me about your place name.
I'm from Tweed Heads.
Tweed Heads. Amon, do you know anything about Tweed Heads?
Just named after the River Tweed in Scotland. There was a lot of Scottish settlers around that area, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, right, yeah. Good part of the country. And look, just a note. I saw a guy do a comedy act not long ago, and he was talking about grammar and the English language, and the gentleman that called before about how we change words to make them sound, a K to a G and everything like that. It's called phonetics. And the meaning of phonetics is to spell the word as it sounds, yet phonetic is spelled with a PH. So we just continue to...
That's a good point. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, when... I mean, yeah. On that topic, when Canberra was founded, because it comes from word Kumbara or something along those sorts of lines, no one could quite agree whether it should be pronounced Canberra or Canberra. There was a sort of the minutes of Australia's cabinet a couple of days before the opening here actually show ministers sort of squabbling about the pronunciation, and was eventually decided that it would be pronounced however the wife of the Governor-General, who was to sort of formally open the city, would pronounce it. And
you're
so
kidding.
Sort of everyone just sort of waited, and she sort of stepped up and sort of said, I now officially open Canberra.
And what if she, you know, had thought, oh, I meant to say it the other way?
Well, maybe she did. We'll never know.
Too late. David, hello.
Hi, how you go?
Hey, what's your question?
I was born in a town in central Victoria called Pukapunyal. Just wondering if you guessed you were an Aboriginal name or not.
Oh, okay. Do you know that one, Amon?
I think it's got something to do with an axe. I believe it's just from memory. It's something to do. It's commemorating a person who was sort of hit with an axe. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of just sort of quite bizarre sort of translations. Gundagai means cut with a weapon at the back of a knee. Indurapilli means sort of place of leeches.
But see, that's good to know. If you know what that means, you know, place of leeches, there are leeches there.
Exactly, exactly.
A lot of knowledge in that.
Well, Coogee, a very fancy suburb in Sydney, actually means smelly place. Because kelp and seaweed would sort of wash to the shore and then sort of rot. And so, yes, real estate agents keep that information to themselves.
Yes, that's an interesting one, omitting that. Hello, Mark.
Oh, good morning. It's Mark in Adelaide. Is it Lisa and Amon?
Yes, correct.
We have a number of towns in the mid-north of South Australia that end in O-W-I-E. There's Willowy, Tarawi, White Yarkawi, and I wonder what that O-W-I-E means. There's another one, Warkawi.
Do you know that, Amon?
My guess would be land of. Mm. But yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I mean, again, I would repeat that there's every chance in the world it means nothing.
Right.
But it's just sort of simply a mistranslation at the time.
So its original word might have had meaning, but then when it's changed over.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated thing. I mean, just indigenous, a lot of indigenous, I mean, every indigenous nation was different, but I mean, a lot of them sort of simply didn't name parcels of land in the way that we do. They just sort of had a different sort of relationship with it. I mean, land was a verb and an adjective as well as a noun. It was, you know, in many ways it was sort of a living thing and thus sort of ever-changing. You know, a river might have had a dozen different names just within the one nation because, you know, to describe different parts of it or different ways in which it was sort of flowing and in different weathers and so on. And then that nation would move on and another nation would come by and, you know, with their own dozen or so names.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very inexact science, the indigenous naming of places. And then another layer of complication on top of that was just simply that sort of surveyors just often got it wrong.
We've only got a couple of minutes left. Bruce, you have a quick question about somewhere around Ballarat?
Well, we've got a suburb called Cardigan. And also on a map, I've seen a place called Weatherboard.
Amon.
Not sure about Weatherboard, but Lord Cardigan was a general in the Crimean War back in the 1850s, which sort of England and France fought against Russia, and it's commemorated quite a bit around the country. He was interestingly the man who invented the cardigan insofar as it was quite chilly in the Crimea, so he ordered his troops to wear sort of woolly jackets. And one of the battles was actually fought at a place called Balaclava, and many troops wore a sort of a woolly hat around their face. So yeah,
well,
one little war gave us two big words.
There we are. Amon, we could talk about this all morning, but unfortunately we must wrap it up. Thank you very much for taking some time out. And, you know, I think you've just maybe sparked that interest in people even more. I don't think anyone can walk around or drive around or look around their area over the next few days without wondering why that place is named the way it is. Take care, Amon.
Thank you so much.